Welcome, everybody. For those of you who've just joined us, welcome. For those of you who joined us for our extra early chat, welcome. And I hope you've been enjoying the chat. Today, we're going to be looking at getting over the past. And really, you know, we have such interesting relationships with the past. We sometimes it makes us feel bitter. Sometimes we feel vulnerable and brittle with it. Sometimes it's so rich and a sense of abundance, and it gives me a sense of who I have become having gone through time. So the past has many, many different expressions in our life in that sense. Now we know that it's not possible to delete the past, to rub it out and wipe it away. You can't bury it, really. It's always going to come up, bubble up somewhere in our lives. So, how do we get over the past? And what are the techniques or the strategies that we can use in our everyday life so that the past doesn't affect us negatively any longer? So, tonight's speaker, Pratibha. Pratibha and I have known each other since early 20s, I think, so quite a while. Although you wouldn't know that she hasn't just got out of her 20s, she looks super young even today. So, Pratibha Dayar, she's worked in as a system analyst, is currently based in Johannesburg, but is tonight with us from Cape Town. She coordinates activities for the Brahma Kumaris right through South Africa, and she facilitates a range from mindfulness, empowerment to values and Ubuntu. So Pratibha is going to be sharing with us this evening. I'm going to ask you to hold your questions and then send them to us at the end of her talk. So Pratibha is going to share with us, and then she's going to do a short meditation, and then she'll be taking your questions. So send your questions to us through the question and answer link, and we will be able to put them to Pratibha on your behalf. Pratibha, welcome, and thank you for making the time and joining us from Cape Town.
Hi, Arti, and it's such a pleasure to be with all of you this evening. I think one of the gifts of COVID and the pandemic is that it melted away borders, and we've become one international global family that we can connect with each other and use technology to feel that kind of interconnectedness. This evening's topic on getting over the past is such an important, relevant one, because so much of how we live our lives today has been profoundly influenced by our past experiences. And just to make sense of it and to learn to put it in the right perspective so that it doesn't become a block for me, that I don't get stuck with that past experience, but that I'm able to draw from it and move forward is important. I'd like to begin this evening with a quotation from Nelson Mandela. I thought it was. I think he's been such an inspiration to all of us in terms of how to work with experiences that we may have had in the past that were painful, but how to grow out of it and not just for the self, but how to use those experiences as a way to serve for a greater whole and a wider benefit. So Mandela's quote is that, as I walked out the door towards my freedom, I knew that if I did not leave all the anger, hatred, and bitterness behind, that I would still be in prison. And I really always draw on this particular quotation from Mandela a lot because I think in some ways, we all struggle with this aspect of letting go and forgiving, but it highlights that why is it necessary and important to do that? It's but for our own self, that it's for our own healing and for our own way of moving forward. It's for our own sense of wholeness together. I came to Cape Town now because I had to sort of, in a way, came for the funeral of a friend that I had known for more than 20 years. And it became so apparent that, you know, in our lives, we do many things and we engage in so many ways, we engage in so many projects, et cetera, et cetera. But when we pass on, in a way, what is left behind? And when I was reflecting on my friend, it was just like, you know, memories are all that we leave behind. And the memories are not so much about what we did and what we didn't do, etc., but how we made others feel. And so I think when I'm, you know, looking at this whole subject of the past and how we work through it, it is so important that we do in some ways make sense of it and grow from it. Because if we don't, then what happens is that we can never be present. We can never be present for what is happening right now and for the people around us now. And we can't then offer the best of ourselves to the present right now. So therefore, in some ways, for me, this whole thing of working through this process has been an important one, because it's only if I can release myself from the past, then can I be present, and then can I allow for the best of me to emerge, and then can I give myself permission as well. And I think that's one element that's very important, that when I release the past and let go of the past, then I'm actually giving myself permission to live fully again. Otherwise, it's like my every experience that I'm having and whatever I'm striving to do, it's being held back by the past experience in some ways. So for me, it's been that element that it's a determination, in a sense that I have to make sense of it. I have to heal from it. I have to give the right perspective to that experience, so that I can start living fully again. I'm going to share with you a few steps that I have taken. I've become very aware, I think during this COVID time, we all had lots of time to reflect on many things. And one of the things that I became very aware of is, you know, growing up here in South Africa, some experiences I've had directly in terms of different experiences of prejudice or whatever the case may have been. But there are other experiences that sort of have influenced me in an indirect way. Things that I have absorbed because of how I saw my parents responding to things, or what happened in schools and the adults in my life, or just the general community, how it would respond to things. And so one of the elements is just to recognize for myself that, you know, without realizing, we tend to suppress a lot. And as long as we suppress in a way, it's sort of, in some way limits our capacity to really be. And One aspect that I recognize that when I just reflect on the general challenges that we have in the country is that because when you've internalized the suppression, then what happens is that there's a part of you that's fighting it. And so it tends to then emerge. Either you submit to that and you just, allow yourself to, play small just to feel safe. And so you never give yourself permission to really live yourself fully. But also then you expect that of others as well, to play small, because that had been like a survival strategy. Or the other element that comes out that we see as a challenge in the country as well is that you tend to react with anger. And so when I see the anger and the violence in society in a way, and so often, one of the challenges we have here that it's so personal, it's within homes, the domestic violence that is so rife in intimate relationships, there's such violence. And so for me, these are all just reflections in a way that we haven't healed from that suppressed mindset, and that the deep inner work that needs to happen to actually release ourselves from that mindset, because it's not just memories, but it becomes a survival strategy, it becomes a mindset, it becomes an internal norm that we have to undo. So I've been working on dealing with it for my own personal self in a couple of ways. And I think one of the first things that I found very important and helpful is really to create a practice and to create time to really become more self-aware. And when I'm talking about self-awareness, it's on two levels, And for me, it's been like the first checking point has been, do I take moments and pause, or do I actually take time at the end of my day or regularly as often as I can, in a way, just to check in with myself and to see what is it that I'm feeling inside. I find that our feelings are a real mirror of what our inner world is carrying and sustaining and dealing with as such. So becoming more introspective and becoming more conscious of what I'm feeling. And it's something that I have to consciously do. It won't just happen automatically, because I find what happens often is that we, we have one situation we're dealing with, and then we move on to the next thing. And it's like we just let our lives move from one thing to the next thing, to the next thing, to the next thing. And each thing, each experience, each interaction, each event or situation is leaving impressions inside. But because we don't give ourselves the space to almost like acknowledge what is happening inside, it gets buried inside, and it begins to accumulate. And the key thing that happens is that these experiences and memories that we are accumulating, then it gets stored in ourselves. So it erupts as moods sometimes, but it also then begins to reflect in our body, because I think our body also stores our memories in that way, the impact of our memories. So the first step that I have sort of created as a practice for myself is really to make time to really just just stop and just to see, acknowledge what I'm feeling. And One key element that I found that is really crucial when I am looking at myself, and that really is that to look at myself kindly, not to look at myself with a judgment, because we're very conditioned in having sort of expectations of what we think we should be and how we should be. And many times those expectations of that we create of ourselves leads us to not really acknowledging what we're feeling. But it's really about with kindness and compassion and just giving space to the self, acknowledging what I'm feeling, and not to feel in any way any less or guilty or shameful for what I'm feeling, but just to say, well, that is the process. That is what has emerged or got triggered in me. So let me just acknowledge my feelings first. And so I find that is when I begin to sort of, it then helps me to also become more present with myself. Because one aspect that I find that happens is that when we're feeling discomfort, we tend to let our mind go on to a race of trying to project the reason for that discomfort to things that happen around us or to people around us. So the mind makes up stories and makes up many reasons for it. And so we tend to live in our heads a lot then. And it's really because we're avoiding what the heart is feeling. So making time to just, you know, to just become more introspective and to become more present with what I'm feeling then helps me to become more present with myself. And I just find that it just makes me feel more in the here and now, rather than racing in my mind. I also am very aware that when I become more conscious of what I'm feeling in a way, then not to try and analyze too much what happened and why it happened and who did what, etc. But that kind of introspection is not about the situation, but what I'm doing with the situation inside of me. And I think that's the key difference, because it's very easy to get into analysis of things and to intellectualize the situation. But I find that when we do that, we it just takes us into a downward spiral. Often like using the expression that too much analysis can lead to paralysis. So acknowledge what I'm feeling and be introspective about what is being generated and stirred inside of me, and not to try and push it out or to push it down or to ignore it, but just to have the courage to sit with it a little bit. Then the second step for me has always been that to find a safe way to voice it. And I found one of the most useful methods that I have used to, you know, untangle, but also to give voice to that, what's happening inside, is I've used journaling. And my process of journaling is that I use it as a letter to God. Because I relate to God as a friend, as a benevolent, compassionate, loving, confidant, friend, support. And so just giving voice to what I'm feeling inside helps to almost like release it from inside of me. If you are in a position where you have a mentor or a good friend that you feel safe with and trust, then you can also have a conversation in that regard. But it is important to give voice to it. And you know, because what I found that if I don't give voice to what is happening inside of me, sometimes it becomes like a little marble that it just shifts around. But when I give voice to it, it's like I'm shining the light on it. And it takes a lot of courage to do this, because when I shine a light on it, it makes me feel extremely vulnerable. And, you know, a lot of the times, the hurt that we feel or we take from our past, it's our ego that takes the hurt and the pain. And so when we give voice to it, it's like we exposing that ego. And it's only in that that process of being vulnerable in that way that we can dismantle, I feel, a bit of the brittleness of the ego. It's like what happens is that, you know, the hurt that we sometimes take is perhaps because a perception I have did not match what I wanted others to see and believe, or a feeling of misunderstanding, or sometimes even my perception of things being unjust. That's a big one that I've had to work with, where you just feel unjust and it's difficult to let go. But all of those are my perceptions and how I'm holding it. And so when I shine the light on what I'm feeling, and it's like exposing it, and in a way that it's it enables me then actually to let go of the shell I've created around that experience, then it helps to undo a little bit of it. For me, in a way, it helped me to recognize in myself what I've been so stubbornly holding on to, and that it doesn't serve me, nor does it serve the other. And, you know, we sometimes hold on to things of the past because we want to change it, but we can't change things in the past. What we need to do is to grow from it. So I need to, in a way, break open that shell. This evening, I was meditating a little while just before I connected, and a very nice image came into my mind, which I thought could be a useful image to share. And that's, you know, when you're in school, one of the experiments that you do in school is they give you a bean and how you soak it, and then you put it in damp cotton wool, and you keep it damp for a few days, and you watch how it grows. And it's that seed, when it reaches a particular point, then what needs to happen is that the outer covering or the shell has to crack open. And when that cracks open, that's when the root can come out, and then you find the stem growing out. And then eventually that fleshy part just disintegrates and disappears, and you have a bean plant that's growing and that can begin to flourish. And that in some ways is what I feel, that our experience of the past is not something that we can delete or we can just erase, but we have to learn to grow from it. And in order to grow from it, we have to acknowledge that the hurt that we're feeling around it, it has to crack open. It's the ego, it's the misunderstanding, it's whatever we're holding onto as a belief around it, that it has to crack open. And so to give it that light by giving it voice in a safe way, in a safe space. And so once that cracks open, then it's like we begin to unleash an energy within ourselves that we can grow from. And so for me, the third step then is always to reframe the experience. And in speaking about reframing the experience, it's really that, how can I let this experience, this situation, or whatever I've been through, how can I allow it to serve me? Because I think one of the principles that I have based my journey on is one thing is just that at the heart of our being, we are all good. It's like, you know, what we see on our external, that's the body. And of course, we have a journey and experience. We have a story. We have a story to tell. We have a story to be. But that we are more than our current story, that we are an eternal being, and that eternal consciousness, in a way, is much more than the story of this one lifetime. And there's a lot more that this eternal being can give expression to. So just coming back to know that at the heart of my being, I am consciousness, and that consciousness is a sacred divine energy, and that I am love, and I am peace, and I am goodness. And in the same light, every other being at the heart innately is this being of goodness as well. So just connecting with that energy in a way helps me then to reframe, to see things from a wider, broader perspective. And, you know, it's like we can't change what has happened, but if we just create a higher or broader perspective, then that experience, in a sense, which has its relevance, but it doesn't take over. We create the right perspective for it. I want to use a little example here. I have a little page here with a line. Now, if you want to make this line small, what should you do? How is the easiest way to make this line smaller without erasing parts of it? Because what's happened, and you can't erase it. But if you want to make this line smaller, what do you have to do? You actually have to draw another line that's taller next to it. And then compared to the taller line, this line becomes smaller. And so there's a lot of significance in that, in a way that reframing the experience is, in a way, making that bigger line. How do I invest my time and my energy in using this experience to serve a greater purpose? And I found that that's where my meditation experience has been very, very helpful, to know that there is a world within me that I haven't discovered yet, that I need to explore further. There's a capacity inside that I need to give expression to. There's a higher purpose for my life that I need to engage in. And so when I draw my attention to that higher purpose, in a sense, then what happens is that it puts this experience, this little line, into perspective that it doesn't dominate my consciousness, but it has its place, but it doesn't take over. One experience that comes to my mind that I'd like to share was when I was at university. For some odd reason, I ended up doing a pure maths subject. And it was a subject that I can't remember right now what it was, but it was a subject that I tried my best, but I just couldn't get my head around it. You know, it was like just beyond me. It was just too abstract and just beyond me. So anyway, fortunately it was for 6 months, this particular course that I had to do. And so I tried my best. I took help from friends and whatever, but it was just like, you know, it was Greek, if I may put it like that. It just couldn't fit into my brain. And I remember the day I was writing the exam for this, I had this paper in the morning, and in the afternoon, I had an economics one paper, actually. So my friends were not doing this pure math subject. They were doing the economics subject. So they were not there in the morning. So I wrote my first paper, and I knew I failed it. I mean, it was, if I got one mark out of the 100, I would have been very, very surprised. It was just beyond me. And so I wrote the paper, and I knew I failed it. And, you know, it was like for the first time in my life that I was like failing a major exam. But I sat outside, and I studied in Durban at Natal University. So where the exam hall was like in the gymnasium, and around the car park, there were these rocks. And you were like up on a hill, and then you had beautiful view of the valley. So after the paper, I went and I had something to eat, and I was sitting there, and I had my file open for the afternoon paper. And I was just sitting there and relaxing, and thank goodness I had been meditating already for a few years. So I looked at it, and I just thought, well, I know I failed this exam. And it's like I literally turned the page of my file, and I said, but this is just one page of my life, the book of my life. It's not the book of my life. It's one page in the book of my life. And so I turned it over and I said, well, it's over. and there's like a whole new story out there in front of me. So I was feeling extremely peaceful and calm and relaxed. So my friends came, and they saw this like blissful look on my face, and they said, oh, you must have done very well in your paper because you look so happy. But I said, if only you knew. But, you know, it was like putting that experience, which was an experience of failure, but putting it into perspective. It didn't define me. It didn't say what I am. It was just something that I couldn't do. And it's okay that I couldn't do it. It's not to say that I'm stupid or I'm inadequate or anything like that. It was just one page in my life, and it was okay. So I find that, you know, keeping a bigger picture always will help to reframe the experience, to keep that experience into perspective so that it becomes small and doesn't dominate. It becomes a means of learning and growing, but it doesn't become a way of defining you, because you are more than that experience, and you are more than that one page in the book of your life. You have a lot more to offer. So I've used reframing like that as a method to really keep things into perspective, so that I don't get stuck with the past experience in that way. Then one of the things that I found as an ongoing thing that is very helpful to help one, and that is really to invest in yourself. Invest in things that nourishes you. We too often just live life day by day, just existing, just getting by with things, just coping with things. But make space and make time to invest in things that helps you grow, to generate within you a sense of joy, creativity, and contentment. Because when we do that, then we feel full. We have a sense of internal attainment and achievement. And that's where I have found my meditation experience helping me a lot. That I make time to spend time to nurture beautiful thoughts, to write beautiful things. I use my meditation practice to connect with something profound in my own being, and of course connecting with the higher source, developing a relationship with that higher source, because when I do that, it brings meaning to life, and that sense of meaning and purpose that it creates by investing in something in me that helps me to create that then helps me to feel full, helps me to feel a sense of attainment. And I find that when I have something meaningful that I'm engaged in, then the things of the past don't hold much relevance then. They become small. It's only if I'm empty now that I find that things of the past would dominate my consciousness. Mm. So really to invest in time and giving time to myself so that I do create a sense of meaning and fullness within my being in that way. So that was one aspect that I found that was very important to really do and to really cultivate in myself. So it holds the right perspective. So I think those were some of the things that I wanted to share with all of you this evening. And I would like to do a short little meditation now. And then we can take up some questions, if that's okay. All right. So for the meditation, if you're new to it, it's okay. Just allow yourself to relax. I will be sharing with you a few thoughts, which you could just allow yourself to use as a suggestion to help you become more centered and connected, and we take it from there. All right. I always like to start my meditation with just a few moments of deep breathing, because I find breath helps one to center oneself very quickly and easily. So just taking a deep breath in. Just be very aware of your breath as it's moving into your lungs. And then gently release. And again, just find your own natural rhythm of breath. Just feel your body as you're allowing yourself to breathe in and relax. Let each breath in be an opportunity to just absorb newness, to become more present. And as you breathe out, just release, let go. Just feel yourself being totally supported in the chair that you're sitting on, or the couch, or wherever. Just let go. When I allow my body to relax, it naturally helps me to feel a quietness within me growing. And so I take this moment to just turn my attention inwards to just go within to the very center of my being, to reconnect the part of my being that's still. I hold a thought that I am a living consciousness, and I see this living consciousness that I am as a subtle light. Resting gently, center of my forehead behind the eyes. And as I hold this awareness of just being consciousness, just being light, it allows me to go deeper and deeper into that feeling of stillness. That the true essence of my being is light and peace. And reconnecting with this essence enables me to feel anchored and centered. And this is the true power of the self. This is my authentic self when I am light and peaceful. And I feel a sense of clarity in the stillness. But my heart also feels full and content. I feel whole and complete in my being. I am. So just hold this feeling of peace and stillness. Just allow the sense of being to filter through your body, but beyond you, into the atmosphere around you. When I'm peace, I create peace. I create my reality. Om Shanti. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you, Pratibha. That was beautiful. Okay, questions are coming in now. So let me start with this first one, which is, you talk about, letting the past be the past, but and not holding on to any guilt. But What if you did allow the past to define you and you're now realizing it has defined you, but it's already set. So how do you move on from having allowed the past to define you?
I think it's such a useful and important first step of recognizing that I have allowed the past to define me. And as I said, you know, it's one aspect that I had an experience of, which I found useful, is that we need to almost forgive ourselves for what we've done to ourselves. In that, I remember an experience I had during a silence retreat many years ago, where I found that I recognized a certain pattern and I could even identify why I created that pattern because of a particular experience I had with someone. And in some ways, in that meditation, it was so clear, but it was almost like that was my capacity at that time. And that's why I've allowed it to define me in a particular way. But now that I can see differently and I know better, I have a choice to respond to it differently. So however we have let our past define us, accept it, okay, that was what I was capable of. And that was what my capacity was. But now I am aware, so let me grow myself. Let me support myself in ways that I can enhance my capacity. Let me engage in practices that can enhance my capacity so that I can move beyond that definition of myself. So recognizing that I've done it, now I have a choice of how I want to move forward.
Thank you. The next person, their question is, I've struggled for a long time to get over bad events and betrayals from friends and family. How can I put this behind me and move to a more enjoyable life?
You know, a lot of it in terms of betrayals and experiences like that of past hurts from family and friends is the perspective that I've held of it. And I found that it was very important that, you know, just the way I see myself, that I've had a particular capacity at that time, and therefore I made mistakes in the past. It's also to, you know, to challenge myself to, you know, step aside from my own judgments of people and to recognize that people did what they could and what was their capacity. And, you know, they made their own choices in that moment. So, you know, it's almost in a way that the hurt I've taken from someone, I'm wanting them to own up to it or to apologize for it or to change. And people may not do that. So in me waiting for that kind of a response from them, I'm only hurting myself in the process. So I just found is just to say that is what it is. That is where they are and that is what they could do. And I think on a spiritual level, I do also just use this awareness that, you know, whatever we do, we get the return of it. There is a consequence and no one escapes consequences of things. So for me, it's to say, okay, I accept and I move on. I choose to respond differently and whatever. But where you have been and what you have done or whatever in the past, you know, there's the law of karma that ultimately equalizes things. So it is not my job to try and hold others accountable or to judge them for things. But, you know, It's the spiritual law of life that will take care of that. I can only look at myself and decide for myself how I want to move on.
Thank you. Okay, the next three I'm going to combine a bit. Let me start with this one. Childhood abuse of any form destroys chemicals in the brain. How can one come forward from that point?
Yeah, that's, you know, I think on one level, sometimes you do need professional help to heal from trauma of that level. But I also feel that it's also about developing a spiritual relationship with the source that can play a huge role in the healing process. You know, so it's about cultivating a new relationship. One is, I think, especially first to forgive yourself, because especially things that happens in childhood, somehow we sometimes feel we blame for it. You know, you know, there's the misconception that, well, you deserve it, that's why you got it, or you, whatever, that to undo that kind of a mindset. But to be very gentle with the self and to begin to cultivate a relationship with the divine, so that I can sort of begin to feel safe again in being that child. And it's through that relationship with the higher source that the experience of unconditional love is what heals deep trauma. I don't think, and in my experience, that anything else can heal us. It's love that can heal us. You know, I want to share one story. We did once a community conversation in Cape Town where we were looking at people from various NGO settings and the work that they were doing and around healing and moving forward and values was the conversation. And there was a man who runs an NGO where he works with the disadvantaged youth, but with youth that ended up being in prison, juveniles. And so one of the aspects in his work that he does is that he does a whole lot of training and work with them, different modalities he uses. But then for 1 week, he takes them into the wilderness. So he takes them out into Table Mountain or whatever, and they go trekking. And in that time, in that week, at least for a day or two, they have to be all by themselves in the mountains, basically. And it's a time that they need to, you know, self-reflect and whatever. So they prepare them before they get them into that space. And then at the end of that, they come together and they share their experiences. And he said, you know, 99.9% of the times, there was always one traumatic experience that happened for this child that flipped them over and that led to, you know, a coping mechanism that was detrimental for them and for society in that sense. But he said that if one negative traumatic experience can do that, then equally so, what his work has showed him was that love and the experience of love can also help flip the individual the other way. So I do feel that it's the experience of love, unconditional love, pure love, that will help to heal those deeper wounds and help restore an individual back to their better selves. Yeah.
Okay, thank you. We've got 4 minutes, so let me put two very different questions to you. One of them is, what if I have hurt someone in the past and now feel sorry about it, but I'm no longer in the person's life, nor is the person in my life, but I have a strong desire to make it right. So that's one. The other one is, sorry, I'm dashing back and forth with these questions. Painful feelings of guilt for not having said the right things to someone who's passed away. And alongside that, something close to that, how do you deal with it when it's been someone very close to you who has an illness, was on recovery, and it's now come back? So how do you move on from the past in that situation?
Mm-hmm. Okay. It's never too late to actually say sorry. And I think in some ways, if there is something that you feel you need to resolve, even if there's a possibility, then I would even just send a letter, you know, send an email or whatever to say, I've been doing work on myself and I recognize, and for the sake of just our own journeys in whichever individual way we are in now, it's just to apologize, because it's a way of releasing it for myself as well. I find that if the person where there's feelings of guilt and that person has passed away as well, when you understand that we are souls and that as souls, we don't die really, but that really, you know, it's the body, the soul leaving a body. So it's this particular role that has ended. But I feel our connection as souls go beyond our bodily connections, that we're still connected in a more subtle energetic level. So if there's someone that's passed on already and there's something that you feel you haven't had a chance to resolve, I would either, you know, write a letter and you know, in somehow, in a way, to present it into a meditation to that soul. So that's one way of doing it. Or just as a conversation, I would in my mind bring that soul in my mind and share from my heart honestly and sincerely what I wanted to share with them. And in some ways then also to release that energy, in a sense, to bring in the energy of God and divine light, and to say, this is how I feel and this is what I'd like to share, and then I release it in that way. So energetically, I feel that whatever we want to share sincerely in our hearts, it does reach and it does connect, and we can move on in that way. So whatever I feel, just to release it in that sense. When there's someone that has been very ill and it's sort of come back again, and how to let go of the old fear of the past illness, if is that what I think the question is about?
Right. Yeah.
I think in a way it's just to recognize, in a sense, that, you know, what was, but it's like, I have a choice now of how I want to use my energy. So in anything, you know, it's like it's difficult because the fear of the pain or the uncertainty creeps in, and sometimes it's just to recognize that it's I can't control whatever is to be will be. But right now, let me work on myself in such a way, and let me make the most of my present now in such a way that I experience the fullness of what the present has to offer. So it's almost in a way, I think sometimes we tend to assess ourselves too much in terms of how I'm managing right now, but just to be very present and with a lot of gentleness and kindness to the self, make the most of what you can right now. That's all you can really do.
Wow. Thank you. All that's left to say is thank you all this evening for joining us, for your questions and your sharings. Pratibha, I'll be calling you in a moment, but thank you very, very much for joining us online.
Thank you, Aarti, and it was a pleasure to be able to just share a little bit of my own journey with all of you, and all the best to everyone. It's a long journey in a sense, overcoming the past, but it's like the butterfly coming out of the chrysalis. There's freedom at the end of it. So keep persevering. Thank you. Take care.